get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, "Hey, bonga fish, angari." Glory to God. I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
See, I'll never be poor.
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
You know, David said, "The Lord has made me a wonder." See, I'm a wonder. To my generation, I'm a wonder. To the whole world, I'm a wonder. Glory to God. All right, I want to see if your faith can pull out some of these revelations today. We'll try. But I am seeing on how I can discuss with you four important books in the kingdom. Four important books in the kingdom. We talk about in the kingdom, we're talking the kingdom of God. Four important books in the kingdom. Okay, now if you study the scriptures, you'll discover by the Spirit of God that there are several books in the Bible and there are books in the kingdom of God. Daniel chapter number 7 verse 10. Liga and the sekitiata libra arti. Come on, say this. Say, "I'm open." Say, "My capacity is big." All right, Daniel chapter number 7 verse 10. It says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him." Boy. "And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." The judgment was set. He's talking about the judgment day, actually. "And the books were open." So right here, we discover, among several things there, that God has books. God keep records. He has books. Okay, can you imagine? God has books. And he has put angels in charge of these books. Okay? So, I tell people, whatever you see yourself doing right now, it's because you are created, or you were created in God's image and in his likeness. So the reason why you do what you do is because God does it in heaven. Okay, and the Bible says he made us after his image and likeness. The reason why you're clothed is because God is clothed. The Bible does say God is clothed. The reason why you're seated is because God sits. Okay, you have two eyes because he does have two eyes, one head, nostrils, and so on and so forth, because you look like God. You are in his image. And plus that, the Bible reveals that you also do like God. You function like God. That's what it means to be in his likeness. Okay, so also God has put in the hearts of men to learn to keep records. That's because he does it himself. And most of the things that you see physically are a reflection of the spiritual. Glory to God. All right, now, so, but amongst these books, several books in the kingdom of God, you notice in this place, it says books were open. It didn't tell us how many books there were. It says books. And then we discover later from the Bible, several other places that God has different books for different things. Like you walk into that shopping mall and you discover that they have, if they still, I don't think they still keep books anymore. Everything has been computerized, but they have several books. You know, they have the one for accounting, they have another one maybe for signing in and signing out from the staff. They have another one maybe to put the complaints of the customers. But now that it's all computerized, a lot of things have changed. So the same way in God's kingdom also, he has books for several things. Books for different activities. God keeps records. He keeps with dates, as we will see soon. Okay, so the first book I want to talk to you about, four important books in the kingdom, I said. The first one is the book of records. The book of records, Psalm 56 verse 8. Now, the book of records is that books where your works are registered. Your works are written. God has this set of books that he calls the book of records. Or we call it the book of records. But in reality, it just means that your activities here on earth are recorded there. Are written there. God is so organized, I'm telling you. Yeah. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. One time a dear man of God had an encounter, and God took him to heaven, and in that encounter he saw certain bottles in a particular store with something liquid inside that looked like water. Then he asked the angel that took him into that particular store, that storehouse, and said, "What are these?" Then the angel said, "These are tears of saints. Every teardrop is properly bottled. The tears that you shed when you're worshiping, the ones you shed when you're interceding, those tears are bottled." Okay? This is a scripture for it. "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" So it's also recorded in God's book, whatever you do. That time that you're weeping for souls, whatever you're doing, you know, let me show you more. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 10. I'll show you more and show you more. Okay, now, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work." He cannot forget, because books don't forget. So whatever you do is recorded. Now, you say, how is God able to do all this? I told you earlier, angels. There are angels who are responsible for these things. In the kingdom of God, there are different departments. Now, this is a mystery, but I need to tell you, it's deep truths. There are different departments, and they all undo different things. I've told you this before. There are times that just in the service, there's an angel that is just standing by someone. Now, several angels, not just one, standing by someone, and you see the angel just writing. You're wondering, what's that guy writing? Okay, he's keeping records of your activity, keeping record of what you're doing in church while service is going on, what you're thinking. All those things, they go up to heaven. There are angels that undo that. There are angels that ensure that you come to church today. They made sure you came. You were still thinking, you were doubting, should I go, should I not go? But that angel worked on you and brought you. Now you find yourself here. Probably you didn't even want to come. Maybe you have to be dragged here. But anyhow, you're here. An angel was working on you. Okay? Right, good. There are angels that write in service when the man of God that functions in the prophetic, okay? Not all men of God see angels in their services, but that does not mean that there are no angels there. We only see them as the Lord permits us. Okay? Now, there are times that angels are just there, might just be pointing to someone and say, "Come and talk to this fellow." He's pointing to that fellow, singling that one out. And then you'll be wondering, okay, so what do I do? You are singling him out. But you notice that the moment you make the move, everything will be revealed to you. Okay? If you ignore, it may not be revealed. All right? And there are other times that something will be revealed and the angel is pointing, this is the person, and so on and so forth. So we have different angels doing different things. Okay, there's a lot on angels that I won't take my time to go into today. Okay? But this is one of the works that they do. They keep records. So he said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." He cannot forget them. So that he would not even forget them, He had them written down. They have to be written down. "Which he have showed towards his name, in that he have ministered to the saints and do minister." So every time you're doing something for someone who is a member of the body, it's recorded. Every time. The insult you throw at them, the hugs that you give to them, how you appreciate them, even your sacrifices are recorded. Very important. There are things that we do in the corner of our room, that we do in secret, that nobody else sees, but God sees. Those things are recorded. You see, there are times that you go out of your way, out of your comfort, just to make something happen. Nobody is seeing you. You can imagine, the guy has been working hard. He's been in church since before anybody else arrived. And he's been working hard, and an apostle calls, just to find out, is so and so working? He said it's not working. Apostle is still shouting on him, what is the matter with you? Now, he's trying to say, well, but I've been fixing it, sir. But Apostle is not seeing that. But God is seeing it. God sees that he put in a lot on his part. That's why only God can reward. You see that? Only God can truly reward. All right. Glory to God. So he says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He wouldn't. Now, let me show you something. Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead. Now, he's talking about the judgment. There is a lot about this chapter. And one day, God will grant me the permission to really show you a lot of things. A lot in this chapter alone. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. In this place, Christians were not there. They are not part of this. They won't be part of this. He's talking about the world now. Christians would have been judged. There are two judgments you have to understand. I've said this several times. The judgment of saints, Christians first, and then this judgment of the world. All right. At this time, the Christians would have been judged. Now, I may mention something along that line before we finish this message. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, if you're doubting what I just said, that Christians wouldn't be there, please go and study the whole chapter. You start from verse 1. Okay, and several other portions. All right, it's not hard at all. Okay, I don't just want to digress. That's why I'm staying. I have a focus. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. So the first thing that was revealed, books. The books were open. So there were books there. All right, and another book, singular, another book was opened, which is that one book that was opened. Is the book of life. Now today we are going to talk about the book of life shortly. Okay, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, not in the book, in the books, according to their works. You see, because in the books, that's where their works are recorded, and they are going to be judged based on things that were written in the books. Now, There's something there. Did you know that this right away suggests to us that there is a bit of consideration with some people after hellfire? Now, that's another big subject. I said that's another big subject. But since I'm not teaching eschatology, but there are those that, okay, let's read on. Next verse. Somebody say, ha ha, I've never, let's leave that for another day. I still have three more books to go. And the sea gave up the dead, which were, now watch this, if you're very smart, you'll catch it now. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. The sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death gave up the dead also. And hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. Don't you understand? We thought if somebody dies and is not born again, he goes to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says. Not everybody goes to hell that is not born again. For different reasons. And before I'm done, you'll get them. Without even me explaining, you get it. For different reasons. Some, you find them in death. There's something called death. Now, death. Okay, now. I just have to explain it. Now, death could refer to an angel, and death could also mean a place, according to the Bible. There are times that when God talks about death, it refers to an angel, the angel of death. There are other times that when he talks about hell, death, he talks about a place. Now, in that place, that's interesting. The way some of you are looking at me now, you want me to change the topic entirely. Oh God. But let's just read. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the dead in the sea, the dead in death. Do you get that one? Okay, that means death is a place. It sounds like a place, right? Okay, so another day we'll talk about the rest. And hell is a place. But also, you remember one time I was showing you from the book of Revelation where the Bible says death was going, or hell was going, and death also followed. You see that in the book of Revelation. You can go and search that out. Which, in that place, it was referring to them as angels. There's an angel of death. But back to this. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Watch this. Everyone was judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What's the second death? Lake of fire. Next verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They were judged according to their works. I'll tell you why. I'll get there shortly. Let's move. Don't worry. I'll talk about it. I had no choice than to talk about it later. Number two. Four important books in the kingdom. Number two, the book of history. Or you can also call it the book of prophecy. The book of history. You know, one time I had a series on eschatology. I taught it for weeks. So it's not something you teach because you have to be digging out the prophecies and then linking them together. But if you want to do that, you can do that in a short while. Some people will still be confused and say, eh? What? So just leave it alone. The book of history, book of prophecy, same thing. Okay, now this book of history simply means, this is how that book is. Everything that a man would ever be, that God has planned for a man to be on earth, is in that book. It is already prophesied. It's written there. This one will be a man of God. He will do this. His ministry will cover this. He will do that. Everything is written there in that book. Let me show that to you. Psalm 139, verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee. Did you see that? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. This includes your features, how you will look, how tall, how short, how fat, everything, your eye color, everything. Do you remember Jesus said something? Jesus said, even the very hair on your head are numbered. They are coded. God is that detailed. Okay? It says, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. No, amplified. 15 verse, amplified. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Your eyes saw my unformed substance even before you were formed. God saw it. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape. When as yet there was none of them. Did you see that? It was all written. Everything you will be. Everything. Where you will be born. Those who will be your family members, your parents, everything was written in God's book. So when you show up here, it's not a surprise to God. Now, I will still mention something again. There, so let's go on. All right, let me show you Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read not one of these details of prophecy in the book of the Lord, the details of prophecy, none of it shall fail, none shall want and lack our mate in fulfillment, for the mouth of the Lord has commanded and the Spirit has gathered them. Do you remember that Jesus said, maybe we should just read Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 7. Jesus said something there. Then I said, behold, no, here I am coming to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the book. Are you seeing that? So it's already written. Third book, the book of remembrance. Now the book of records determines your reward in this, in the life after. Okay, what is recorded, your works, okay, will determine the kind of reward that you have. Now God is going to judge the saints first. So that's the first judgment. The first judgment is the judgment of the saints, and that's what is usually called the at the Bema seat of Christ. Bema seat of Christ. That's the one that Jesus will be there, and all his saints, only the saints will be there. And Jesus is going to judge the saints, and the Bible says he's going to do it according to their works. And the Bible says everyone there will have praise of God. Nobody will be cast to hell there. Listen. Listen and listen good. If you made that particular judgment, it means that you're not going to hell. That judgment is just for saints. Now, forget about a lot of things that you've watched. Those things were acted out of ignorance. A lot of ignorance. I told you how many years ago I was watching something, and they said this is the gate of heaven, and people queued up, and then they had a scale. All right? And then they said, put this Mr. whatever, whatever, Mr. John. All right, now put his good works on this side of the scale and his bad works on this side of the scale. And then they discovered that the good works and the bad works, the bad works actually outweighed the good works. So they said, no, this one, you can't come in here. Hellfire, oh yeah, this side. Okay, that is a lie. The Bible does not teach that at all. Otherwise, Jesus didn't need to come at all. It's useless. We would have just been doing good works. Okay? When your good work outweighs the bad one, then you are qualified. What's the essence of Jesus coming to die? That's like saying that if you have plenty clean water and a drop of dirty water, you still made it. The water is still pure. That's not true. No matter how plenty that water is, as long as you have a little dirt inside, it's no longer pure. You can't call it pure. Do you understand? So it has nothing to do with your good works. It has a lot to do with Jesus of Nazareth, your justifier. Once he justifies you, he calls you righteousness. Glory to God. All right, now. Next, the book of remembrance. Okay. The book of remembrance, Malachi chapter number 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, verse 16. Let's read. The Lord is your strength. Say, the Lord is my strength. All right, Malachi chapter number 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance. Now, this book of remembrance just simply means that God brings back to remembrance some things that you've done, some very special things, special seeds. Some things you did beyond yourselves. It usually brings about reward here on earth. It brings about some special blessings. Some people, God just know that book is open. That's why we say, oh Lord, let your book of remembrance be opened unto me for on my behalf. You see, God just opens that book again, and there's something you did one time that was recorded there. Maybe it was a seed. Maybe it was something you did heavy. Maybe you bought something for a man of God. Maybe you helped a man of God clean something. So on and so forth. You did something for an anointed vessel. You did something for your fellow brother. And so on and so forth. Is in that book. And that book is opened. It may be opened in the day of your affliction. In the day of trouble. Where you have tried everything. Nowhere to go anymore. One thing may be left. That book. When it is open, you remember when you studied the book of Esther, the Bible talks about Mordecai. You remember Mordecai and Haman? They had issues. But then the king, the Bible says, the king one night could not sleep. He was tossing to and fro. And then because he couldn't sleep, he said, he called one of them, said, excuse me, get me the books where you record all the activities, things that have happened. That's like a book of remembrance for Mordecai. Because by the time he opened that book, he discovered that Mordecai had done something to save the king's life before. And now, this bad Haman is already planning to eradicate him, the whole of Jews. So when the king saw that, When he saw that what he had done, he said, my goodness. He said, one moment. No wonder I could not sleep that night. God took his sleep away. Listen, that's how God will take the sleep of those that are supposed to help you. Is that they didn't realize it or they are refusing? God will take their sleep away until they have helped you. Say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. And that man, a whole king, could not sleep. And then he got there into that book and discovered that thing and said, wow, what did you do to this guy? This guy that saved my life. What has been done to this guy? They said, nothing. You let it go like that? Oh God, what can I do to honor this guy? What can I do to honor him? Referring to Mordecai. What can I do to honor him? And then boy, in a big way, he did honor him. You go study it. You see, he honored him. God, that was a book of remembrance. Remember, we have God, King of Kings. He could just open the book on your behalf again and say, this guy did once in one time, once upon a time. Oh boy, I love it. Okay, so, yeah. Let's read it again. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Thought upon his name. Next verse. Come on. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. You see? The book of remembrance. And as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Thank God I serve God. This is not for you if you don't serve him, okay? Glory to God. All right, and then the fourth book is the book of life. Now the book of life. A little bit of you'll be surprised that as simple as this is, there's still misunderstanding over the book of life. The book of life is that book in which God recorded, in which God recorded, God wrote all the names of the elect. Now, not all the names of those that are born again. All the names of the elect. And I will explain who the elect are shortly. Now, those that are... because I've heard, you know, even as we're growing up, we heard it. That the book of life, when you give your heart to Christ now, God will go and write your name in the book of life. Okay, and that sounds nice. And we believed it. At least that was too good. Okay, so when somebody gives his heart to Christ and say, now say after me, Father, I come to you. Say, Father, I come to you. Forgive my sin. I'm a sinner. Jesus, forgive my sin. I'm born again. Write my name in the book of life. Okay, that's like saying, Father, forgive me. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Because the same effect is what that has. Because it will change nothing. According to the Bible, and we will look at it shortly. According to the Bible, God does not write in the book of life. The book of life was already written. He doesn't write. Now, I'm not forging anything. We will all look at scriptures. Every scripture on it, we will look at it shortly. So, and you can read. So you see it for yourself. So it's not like, where is this man coming with all these things from? It's just that it's some of the things that we need to deal with. You see? Many times, many lies have stayed for a long time, and people almost, in fact, not almost, many people have believed them to be true. Okay, but because a lie has been in the office for a long time, does not make it a truth. A lie is a lie. I said, God does not write anybody's name in the book of life. The book of life contains the names of those that were written by God according to the Bible from the foundation of the world. You say, I'm hearing something new. No, it's not new. You've not just been studying your Bible. We see it. So, it's a deception. Oh, well, now you've come to Christ. Now, you're welcome. Oh, good. Your name has been written in the book of just na. You saw the hand of God when he was writing it. He just wrote it na. And the guy feels good. Really? So my name too has entered. Hey. And then the guy sings. and apostasy, commit apostasy, and because they say, once you've sinned, your name is no longer there. And God goes, and you sin again, wipes it away. And then you guys say, I'm sorry, God writes it again. Writes it again. That's madness. God does not do that. Otherwise, he would have written for some people over 1,000 already. 5,000 times. Because some people are very good in sin. They will sin and repent, sin and repent. How long will he do that? Then you don't know the purpose of that book. Let's look at what the Bible says about the book of life. All right, let's do this. Let's look at who the elects are first. And pause one moment before I take you through that. The Bible shows us. Now listen to this one and listen very hard. I remember when I was about to start ministry, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you first to study the whole Bible at once. Now, prior to that time, I've been reading the whole Bible, this portion there, that portion there, this portion there. I've read everything. It's just that I've not studied it together at once. So the Lord said, go and study it all at once first. You have to do that first before you start. So I started from Genesis and I finished in Revelation. I studied everything. It took me months, but I finished it at once. And God showed me a lot of things that period. And one of the things that he showed me, one of the things that he taught me personally, was the issue of these elects. God revealed to me that, did you know that not everybody in the world will go to heaven? Of course, that's simple enough. Say, of course, we know. Okay, let's go a bit further. Do you know that there are those that are called the elects? The elect simply means those that were chosen by God from the foundation of the world to be his own. So don't make the mistakes that everybody, so you are preaching to everybody. You are even crying because there are some guys that are very passionate, young ministers. Oh no, can't everybody just be born again? Everybody. No, everybody cannot be. Those who are very, very anointed, they've tried it before, it didn't work. You see that? Jesus was here, not everybody believed on him. Why? The Bible talks about the elect. That's how God has always functioned. It's his choice. Isaac had two twins, two boys. God chose one and left the other. Nobody to question God. He chose Jacob. Jacob looked like the deceiver. Jacob looked like the 419 guy. That guy was tough. And God said, well, that's the person I've chosen. You see that? Joseph had two boys. God chose the younger one and put him above the older one. God always has choice. There's something called elect with God. In the whole world, God left everybody else and chose only the nation of Israel. Now listen, he created everybody else. He was their God, but he only decided to choose only Israel. He said, why did God do that? You can't question him. That's his choice. So God has always been this way. So as we speak now, in the whole world also, there are those that are called the elect. From the foundation of the world, God has determined that these ones are mine. Where are they? Amongst everybody else. So what do? We preach to everybody so that those ones that are God's elect can be located. While we are preaching, the guy's heart is touched because he's one of them. He gives his heart to Christ. The other guy's heart is touched. The lady's heart is touched and so on. So we are locating them with the gospel. We preach to all of them, but only some will come. Now, some will come later, but not presently. They are still part of the elect. But there are those that no matter what you do, brothers and sisters, if you like, cook big jollof rice, fried rice, put chicken, and be preaching to them, they will not give their heart to Christ. And say, just say yes, I accept Jesus, and you eat chicken and fried rice. You will say yes. Eat chicken and fried rice and walk out on you and tell you, I didn't accept. I don't believe what you're saying. Why? Because, listen, the grace is not granted them. They are not one of them. Did you get what is going on? That's why when you see a guy, even he may be so sinful, so wicked, but His heart is still towards God. Somewhere, he can't explain it. He's chosen. Now, listen to this. It doesn't mean that because we are all God's elect, it doesn't mean that there are still God's elect that will go to hell because of their choice. So it's not, it doesn't mean that God will finally stop. You must not, don't go to hell. Then tie rope around the neck. Say, you not go, you are my elect. No, it doesn't work like that. Okay? So, you have your own choice to make. I'm talking about now, the elect. They still have their choice. That's what makes you a free moral agent. God doesn't force anything on you. Okay, let me show you a bit about the elect. Mark chapter number 13, verse 20. Mark 13, verse 20. Now, we have to rush through this. I just want to establish that there are... One time, I listed scriptures on this elect revelation, and then it was a lot of scriptures from the Bible because I was amazed. I found it everywhere. You know, when God grants you revelation, it will look like something you didn't see before. You now be wondering, how come? I've been reading this, I didn't see it. All of a sudden, the scale is taken off. A lot of scriptures on it. So I'll just show you a few tonight. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, he's talking about the days of tribulation. Okay? There will be great tribulation, okay, after the rapture of the church. All right. No flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen. The elect are the ones that he had chosen. He had shortened the days. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, 14th verse. Let's link it together. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's what we're doing. We're calling everybody, come. But in reality, only a few are chosen. You see that? Okay, good. All right. More scriptures. Ephesians chapter number 1, reading from the 3rd verse. Ephesians chapter number 1, reading from verse 3. Oh boy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. This is a shouting scripture. Say, I'm blessed. You can't be reading something like this and you're thinking, oh yeah, oh, blessed. What are you thinking? Oh God, this one is, I could preach on this one, this just this scripture. We have series on it, this one verse. You stay with it, you won't want to leave. You just be looking at that. Hey. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Nothing left out. All spiritual blessings. I will never have cancer. I will never have diabetes. I'm full of health in the name of Jesus. I will never run dry. I will never be poor. I'm so blessed. Glory to God. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Can you see that? Now you have to understand that everything, you have to really understand this. Everything that we are, every benefit we are enjoying now was already done before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, Jesus already died before the foundation of the world. That's why he was called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He already died in the mind of God. He was raised in the mind of God. His blood was already shed before the foundation of the world. That was the reason why when Israel, when they slaughtered animals and their blood covered sins. No, the blood of animals cannot cover any sin. But because God had to accept it, because in the mind of God, the blood of Jesus was shed. So when God looked at that, God remembered the blood that was shed from the foundation of the world. You see that? So what we do is we just take what has been done and we walk in the reality of it. The day you were born again, the process began in your spirit, but it was already completed. Did you get that? Good. So you see, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, yay. Oh no, I don't want to offend someone. Oh my goodness. Well, say hallelujah. According as he had chosen us in him before, after I didn't write it, so you can question the Bible. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose you Do you understand? From the foundation of the world, he chose you to be holy. Now, he didn't say he chose us that we shall be holy. He said should be. Should be holy and without blame. That's the reason why we stand before Jesus without blame. We are blameless. Do you understand? Oh, hallelujah. You know why? Because when God looks at you, the punishment is supposed to put on you. Somebody bore it already. So he can't put it on you again. That's why he's so merciful. This wicked you, you still show up in his presence and say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me, oh, forgive me. It's not because of your cry. That's why he's forgiving you. He's forgiving you because of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. You will appreciate this more if you have the revelation of it. That's why we're bold. Amplified version, please, from the third verse. May blessings, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit. Boy, thank God I carried the Holy Ghost, brother. Blessing given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. Next verse. Even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own. Hey, glory to God. These are shouting scriptures. There are scriptures you read and you're just shouting all by yourself. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. We should be holy. He chose us to be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him. And blameless in his sight. Listen. Make no mistakes. He's not saying that he chose us so that we'll go and live a holy life. Or he chose us. He talks about we living a holy life. But that's not what he's talking about here. Listen, if God says the reason he chose us is so that we can be holy. If that's what God is saying, then he will be lying because we can't be holy. The children of Israel couldn't do it. Is it now you that can do it? They couldn't do it. They tried. They really tried. If you ask them and face them, when you get to heaven, if you see some of them, say, why did you people mess up? I say, we tried. It didn't just work. They tried. But it didn't work. Why? By strength shall no man prevail. And God saw that nobody could do it. So what did he do? He sent Jesus. So Jesus did it once and for all. You mean God chose me from the foundation of the world that I should be holy? Boy, that means I'm holy. Ah, yeah. I'm blameless. Boy, I'm so blessed. I'm telling you. All right, now, let us not digress. All right, now, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, 13th verse. Good. But we, brethren, beloved by the Lord, ought and are obligated, are those who are in debt, to give thanks always to God for you, because God chose you from the beginning as his first fruits, first converts. Now, the Amplified pushed it to the extreme. He's trying to make you understand it more. But sometimes, when they try to make you understand this, they mess up. You say, why? Several other scriptures. I can't take you through that today. Because you have to understand that the translators, sometimes they try to make it clearer. In the course of trying to make it clearer, they put their own understanding there. So sometimes it spoils things. But at other times, they did a great job. Okay, so for the great job, we should have clapped for them too. But for this one, glory to God. All right, this is better. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. You see how you're going to enter it? You're going to enter by believing the truth, by the Spirit of God sanctifying you. But already you were separated for salvation. You see, there are those that have been separated. We are chosen for salvation. We are chosen not to be destroyed with the world. That's why at rapture, the Christians will be taken out. Because it was already destined, predestined. Should I take you through that one again? I would have showed you something in Romans chapter number 8, but let's postpone it. Remember, we still have this book of life to discuss. Glory to God. All right, so, by the way, so those are the elects. Elects are those that have been chosen of God for himself from the foundation of the world. They are chosen. You see how will God recognize them? You're asking me. He's good. He should know. He knows how to. That's why some people have said that there's a mark on each one. Well. Maybe. But God knows how. All right, now let's look at scriptures on the book of life to clear doubts. And when we begin to look in these scriptures now, I want you, if you have not been paying attention before, begin to pay extra attention now. Okay? So that you won't say because you heard it or apostle preached it. You have to see it for yourself. The Bible cannot deceive. Human beings can deceive you, but not the scriptures. So let's see it for ourselves now. Psalm 69 verse 28. Let's begin from there. Psalm 69 verse 28. Okay. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Now, one moment. I will show you the amplified version of this shortly. Maybe we should just do it now. Amplify. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and the book of life. Emphatically, there's a book called the book of the living. Emphatically. Now, the book of the living is that book. It's not part of the four books I wanted to teach, but I just have to touch it. It's that book in which the names of everyone on earth who are alive presently on earth is recorded. When somebody goes out, his name is wiped out. Once somebody dies, you understand? Once somebody dies, leaves this realm, his name is taken out. He will never come back in. Now, somebody said, but what about somebody that died and came back? It's you that you are seeing it that he died. As far as God is concerned, he's not dead yet. Because God knows he's coming back. You get what is going on here? Well, he knows the end from the beginning. So let's leave that alone. Okay, now that's the book of the living. And then the book of life, which we are talking about now. Mm-hmm. And not to be enrolled among the uncompromising righteous, those upright and right standing with God. Who's saying this? This is David. Number one, David knew about the book of life, and David was not born again. Are you here? I'm saying that to say this. We've been taught that the names of those in the book of life are those who are born again. But remember, before Jesus came, it was not possible for anybody to be born again until after his resurrection. But David is telling us about the book of, and he was not prophesying. Okay, Exodus chapter number 32, verse 32. Let's look at Moses. Moses spoke about the same thing. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your book which you have written. Blot me out of your book which you have written. Now, mark this. You have written. You have written. Mark that. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. Then it says, Moses said, blot me out. Okay, why? Why would I blot you out, Moses? Their dialogue will show to you how somebody's name is removed from the book of life. The Bible talks about somebody's name being removed. It never talks about somebody's name being written. The Bible talks about somebody's name who was already in the book, someone's name who was not in the book, and someone's name who was removed. Three group. Okay? Now, next verse. But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out. Not you, out of my book. Watch that. So what takes someone's name out of the book? When you sin against God, what kind of sin is he talking about? He's talking about a sin against the Spirit. And that's the sin that the Bible says has no forgiveness. Are you still out there? He says, if you talk against Jesus, there's no problem. Jesus says so. If you talk against me, there's no problem. But when you talk against the Holy Spirit, he says that one has no forgiveness. Remember, we talked about that probably last week or so. We talked about that sin. Okay. Now, a Christian, hear me. A Christian does not sin deliberately against the Holy Ghost. No Christian does that. Because he was sealed. He may have sinned due to ignorance. The reason he's saying what he's saying is because he's ignorant. But remember, he will be punished for it. Not punished of sending to hell. But God knows how to deal with him. But then, the sin against the Holy Ghost, that apostasy. Let me show that to you. Hebrews chapter number 6. Oh God. Help me. Hebrews chapter number 6, reading from the 4th verse. You know, sometimes you have a lot of things in your spirit, but how to communicate it is the issue. So, when those who are seated in front of you, they have enough faith, they will be able to pull it out. But I'm wondering if you do have enough. Can you pray with tongues? Pray with tongues, pray with tongues, pray with tongues. Pray with tongues, pray with tongues, pray with tongues. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost now. Pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sharabagada satagala bahande gedo soto gura pagalete. Rete gelo bogo dubra shata bagarande gola bala sigataya. Rete de gedo godo bregedo sata bagarata lava shagala basete. Rete gedo golo breshogolo brasagala bashata baya baya. Rete zizizi rigedo garaba garaba shata baba baba. Rate zuzu gura bala shata bagarate zizizi. Rete de 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 golo bagolo. Say, Lord, help me sit now. Help me sit. Help me sit. Rada da ba 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 ga ra ga de go do. Rege de ge do. Shoto bo go lu be ge de gura pa ga ra ta zida. Rete zozo. Enlarge our capacity. Rade go lo lo. Lo bre ge lo bre ge lo. Liga la ba la shata ba ga la ba la seto no so ge lo so ta ha. Ho 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 ho. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Well, lift your right hand and say hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for praising him like that. I love that. I love that. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they fall away. Remember, he says it's impossible. He doesn't say it's hard. It's impossible. If they should fall away. To renew them again to repentance. It's impossible to renew them. Once. Now, what are the criteria? We just read them. Go back to the criteria. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. They are enlightened in what? In the scriptures, in the word of God. I'm not talking about baby Christian that just came which day and they are just teaching some things. No, they are enlightened. They know the truth. Okay? And have tasted the heavenly gifts. They've tasted the heavenly gifts. And according to the Bible, the gift from heaven is Jesus, our Lord. Okay? And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about sharers of the Holy Spirit. They are the Holy Spirit. They've so mingled. You know, there is a level you are in your life. You have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. That is talking about some walk, some deep walk with the Spirit. And I've tasted the good word. There's something called the good word of God. You know the truth for yourself. Revelation. And the powers of the age. Now, the powers will be referring to demonstration of power, gifts of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. These criteria. If you don't fall in this group, even if you like, say, Jesus, I don't want you anymore. If you still come back and say, I'm sorry, he will accept you. Why? He knows you said it in ignorance. But for somebody that knew what he was doing, to have said it, that's the end. But it's very difficult for a Christian who have this criteria to do it, except he's been lured away. He's been deceived by the things of this world. And so, because of that, some of them walk out on God. And that one, no return again. I knew of someone personally who fell in this group. Was once a pastor and then turned his back on Jesus. I tried to bring him back. I tried all I could. Preach to him. Pray for him. Pray. I was just wasting my time. In fact, at one time, he had to block me. But he was a pastor that once preached to people. That's because he has attained this height. The Bible, God cannot lie. God said it's impossible. So don't let the devil lie to you if you've not gotten to this level. The devil said you've just committed an unpardonable sin. You cannot be pardoned anymore. No, that's a lie from the pit. For you to even feel sorry about it is enough for you to know that in reality you've not fallen in that group. Because when you fall in, you won't feel sorry. Which sorry? You pass that life. You even have revelation that you used to back it up. Forget all these things. It's a lie. I know the scripture. I was once there. I preached to people. You see, you are trying to preach to the guy. Before you finish scripture, he's giving you. He's quoting. Then you are wondering who is trying to convert who. That's because of the level. Do you understand? So at that level, no returning. No coming back. Did you get this one? Good. All right. You remember how we got there? Let's go back now. Exodus 32, verse 32 into 33. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. So, in this context, talking about this kind of sin. Otherwise, David wouldn't be with God as we speak. You know David sinned against God? You know it. He sinned big. You know big. But he's with God. Even Abraham sinned big time. He did. Let us know. But he was still the landlord of where he went. The Bible calls the place Abraham's bosom. You see, so that's not the kind of sin he's talking about. He's not talking about when you miss the mark, all those kind of, no, he's not talking about that. He's talking about a deliberate standing against God. Next verse now. Due to knowledge, though you have knowledge. Okay. All right, now, no. Let's come out of here. We have some more. Daniel chapter number 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. I believe you're marking those things we read about the book of life. At that time, Michael, that's an angel, shall stand up, the great prince, the great ruler, who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now, he's prophesying concerning the last days. Talking about the tribulation. I've taught this in eschatology. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found, who will be delivered? Everyone who is found written in the book. Mark what he said. Everyone who is found. In other words, they went to that book. He was found. Hello? That's because these are the elects. Their names are there. But from amongst the elect, there are those that whose name will not be found anymore. It's been taken out. And I just told you now the kind of sin that can make that happen. Apostasy. If somebody denies Jesus and dies in that state, his name is taken out of the book. You see that? That's apostasy. So they are going to go back to the book. Whosoever's name is found. It's like in that school, secondary school. You go there. And then your secondary school. And then you say, please, I'm here for so and so certificate. And then they bring out their registers. Their old ones. And they start looking for your name. Why are they looking for your name? Because your name was with them. If your name was not with them, say, yeah, I came here to look for so certificate. Say, what's the name of your school? ABC International School. They say, it's not this place. They won't even bother looking to, they just say, not here. But because they know here that you're one of their students, so they will bring out the register to look for the name. Is it there? Then they find it. Ah, here it is. Same thing, the book of life. Okay, watch that. Everyone who is found, who is found written in the book. And he's talking about the book of life because this tallies with book of Revelation. You remember? We read book of Revelation. Okay, let's come out of here. I got more. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, 3. New Testament now, right? And I heard you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Did you notice that? It sounded like their names are there. Mark that. Okay. Now, in all that we will read, there will be no place where you will hear that God will say, I will write your name in the book of life. There will be no place. Just let's go on. Okay. And those are all that you could get about the book of life from the scriptures. I brought you all the scriptures about the book of life. Okay. Now, let's look at something else. Revelation chapter number 3, verse 5. Let's begin to go to those ones now. Revelation. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name, because his name is already there. I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Did you notice that too? Okay, it's Bible study now. So, Revelation 13 verse 8. all who dwell on earth, we worship him. He's talking about the beast. Can we look at from maybe sixth verse so we can get this in context? Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. He's talking about the Antichrist. To blaspheme his name. He blasphemed God's name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. He was saying nonsense about them. Next verse. It was granted to him. It was God who granted to him to make war with the saints. Otherwise, he dared not. And to overcome them. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is why you should not be there at that time. Because at that time, it will be granted to him to overcome the saints. As we have now, it is not granted to the devil to overcome us. We are more than conquerors. He cannot. But in that day, it will be granted to him to overcome the saints. So don't make sure you are not there. I will never be there. Oh. Glory to God. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Next verse. All who dwell on earth, we worship him. Who are those that worship him? Those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Are you getting that? So, in the world, there will be those that will say no. That's another long teaching. I could start telling you about that one, but not today. But those who will worship him, the Bible clearly states it's because their name was not written. In other words, they are not one of the elect. So they are easily convinced. Their names are not written, were not written in the book of life. So they will be the ones to worship him. But on earth, there will still be those whose name, who are the elect, whose name are written, they will not worship him. Okay, now, let's read on. Revelation chapter number 17:8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and we are sent out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Can you see that? Which means that the names are written from the foundation of the world. We've seen that already. So he's reiterating that. When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is, the beast refers to the Antichrist or his prophets. Okay. All right now. We're still going on. Revelation chapter 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead. You remember this place? We are back there now. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Next verse. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead. Hades, hell, okay? This one said Hades. Okay? Who were in them, and they were judged, each one, according to his works. Next verse. Then, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Next. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Was not found. That means they will bring out the book. And they will look for the name there. Ah, your name is not there. Oh. You're sorry. Kind of. Okay. Revelation chapter 21 now, verse 27. And they shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So you see, the book of life is that book where the elect's name were written, but you have a responsibility to keep your name there. You keep your name there. Keep it there. He said, but you just said it's not that easy. It starts from somewhere. You have to understand it. It starts from somewhere. Listen, every time you're tempted, the temptation usually, James chapter number 1, let me show that to you. So that you can know what temptation is all about, really. From the fifth verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not in wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Next verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I refuse to be double-minded. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. We are going somewhere. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Next verse. For the sun is no sooner. Next verse. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Listen, God knows that we are tempted all the time. He knows. To the essence that the Bible says Jesus himself was tempted. For you to know that Jesus was a man. The Bible says he was tempted in every point. Do you understand? There is no temptation that you face now that Jesus did not go through. He was tempted in every point, but he decided not to fall. That was why God really honored him. Listen, if he was not tempted, it was not honor. It's a trick. God tricked us. Because how can you, somebody that was not tempted, somebody that did not really go through anything, and you now say you are honoring him? That's not real. But because Jesus was a man, he calls himself the Son of Man. And he went through temptation, real temptation, and he did not fall. And the Bible says he submitted himself even unto death. That means there was a place for pride. Pride wanted to come up, but Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself. One time he was hailed. Now he's a reigning prophet in town. They put him on the donkey, and then he started riding, entering into Jerusalem. Wow, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. You know, they started hailing him. And, you know, they were putting down the palm fronds, the clothes on the floor. And Jesus was riding him. My goodness, a great prophet is here. And, you know, that was a sweet period. I'm now beginning to be known all over. My ministry is expanding. And then, the Holy Spirit whispers to him and says, remember, you're soon going to die. And then that night, he took his three disciples. He says, follow me. They don't understand what happened. Master, what's happening? And the Bible said, he said, wait here. Be praying too. What happened? We just rejoiced. No, Hosanna in the highest. What happened? Your face has changed. Just stay here. And then he walked further. A stone throw, the Bible says, and falls on his face. Ah. Hey. They don't understand though. What is going on here? Master. They don't understand. Cover his face. Now he's praying. Why is he so sorrowful? You know why he's so sorrowful, Peter? Peter said, I don't know. Let me go ask him. He said, we should wait here. Do you know why he's so sorrowful, John? John said, I don't know. I will ask him after he's done. You know what? Feeling sleepy. Because they don't understand. You know, sometimes you can be too sorrowful and you feel sleepy. So they felt so sorrowful. They can't understand, Master, what's going on. And you know, before they knew it, they were tired of watching. And then he was there praying. He was praying. They heard him. Listen to what he's saying. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. They were looking at him. Then he repeated it again. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Father, that's the only thing he's saying. They got fed up. They said, please. Why is he saying only one thing since? That was the only thing he was saying. He said, but anyway, I submit to your will. That's what they were watching. Why? He's being tempted. Jesus was going to lose the anointing. Don't you understand? He was going to lose that presence. Why? On that cross. Because he would go to the cross and the Father would have to depart from him. And Jesus knew ahead of time that would happen. So, imagining it. He didn't want to imagine it. Father, please don't let it happen. Now, he was going to be associated with demons. And listen, when we're talking about demons, we're talking about these evil beings. That they stink with evil. And like someone has rightly described them, if you have a knife, you can cut a chunk out of their evil. It was that thick. And Jesus is going to be associated with them. He knew all this. He was going to be taken to hell in the regions of the damned. He will associate with sinners. He will be on the cross. He will be together with the thieves, with the robbers. Ah! Unimaginable. This was Jesus that enjoyed the presence of God so much. The Bible says one time he was praying on the mountain of transfiguration. We call it mountain of transfiguration because of what happened to him. While he was praying on that mountain, something was happening to him. He so prayed, power was coming out. His countenance changed. Now all that was happening in the realm of the spirit, but God opened the eyes of his disciples to see it. They had to see that vision. Just God wanted them to see what happened to the guy all the time he was alone. God said, all right, this time I want to open your eyes. And they saw it. This Jesus, he had fellowship so much with power, with the anointing. The Bible says he cast out devils with a finger. Come out! Just with his words, they are screaming. He walks in, demons walk out and say, no, we don't want your trouble. He was that anointed. Do you understand? Enjoying the presence of God. That was the reason why he could be alone by himself in the bush or in the wilderness or in the mountain somewhere overnight praying to God, because of that presence. Listen, when you enjoy the presence of God, it will be driving you back into it. You'll be coming back for more. And so Jesus had enjoyed all this thing, and now, God, you are saying, you imagine it, you're now saying that because of these wicked people, these sinners. But I was not the one that sinned. He could have thought that way. I didn't do anything. I've been sinless. Now he's coming to die for them. And not just die. If he's dying, nah, the Holy Spirit is still in me. I will die. But God is saying, on that cross, I'm going to leave you alone. And then these demons, you have to have fellowship with them. Jesus said no. He so prayed. The Bible says the drops of sweat that came from him were as blood. So much prayer with intensity. It came from the whole of his being. So you see, he was really tempted. But yet, he still submitted. All the time he was taken to the cross, he submitted. The people that had looked forward to meeting him, they had hailed him, great prophet. Now they can see him as they carry him. They take him, you know, and tied him and walked him amongst them. Some of them had the opportunity to touch him this time around with a slap. That is him. That is him. That is him. The soldiers that have heard about his miracles, the wonders that he had performed, now they came and slapped him and said, tell us, prophet, prophesy, who slapped you? Terrible. And Jesus, all that time, he was tempted. He could have said, stop! I'm sorry. I can't go anymore. I'm not dying. Everybody should go and die for himself. But he didn't do so. He endured. The Bible says he endured the shame of the cross. Listen, the highest shame in their land was to be hung on the cross. That's the highest kind of shame. He was stripped naked, put on that cross, and they drove those fat, long nails into his palms, the palms of his hands and his foot. And yet, he endured it. And they lifted him. They didn't put him on the... They lifted him for all to see. They lifted him. See your king. Mockingly, the king of the Jews was inscribed. They put it there. The thief on the right and on the left. They wanted to crucify him. Can you imagine? They crucified him with wicked people. They didn't even crucify him alone. That let's just honor him. No. This one was saying his own. This other one was saying his own. It's called insult upon injury. And Jesus still remained there. And then the period came, the Holy Ghost was going to leave him. Oh, it's going to happen finally. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Ah, it happened. When it happened, it was tough for God. It was tough for Jesus. Tough. And darkness covered the whole place. 3 hours. Because the unthinkable had happened. God had separated from his son. Why? He had to do it. God had to leave Jesus on that cross so that our sins can be on Jesus. If God is there, you can't put any sin on him. And God separated from Jesus on that cross. Now, he could now die for us. He could now carry our sins. He was really tempted, brothers and sisters, but he submitted in all of the temptations. Think about it. While he was there, his spirit, demons came to take his spirit to force him to hell. Now you have to go and pay for the sins of the whole world. Oh! What a period, the Son of God. But you know I love my Jesus. As he came into that hell. Yeah. Glory to God. Did you know that he came out of hell? He came out of hell. Not just, he didn't barely come out. They didn't say, just let him go. Push him out. No, that's not how he came out. He whipped them. After whipping them, he was raised back to life in glory. Hey! Something happened. The keys of hell was taken. Satan said, where is the key? He said, shut up. The keys were taken. The key of death was taken. Woo! Glory to God. I feel like going somewhere to sit and just be by myself now. This is powerful stuff. And the Bible says, all the time Jesus was doing that, I was in him. That's the biggie. The Bible says I was in him. When he went to hell, I was in him. We were together. We entered hell. Satan said, no, you got to bow now. You remember I once told you to bow. You said, no, Jesus wouldn't bow. Satan said, all right, you demons, make him bow. And they tried to force my Jesus. I was in him. They were trying to force us down. But all of a sudden, the Bible says, he threw off principalities. He threw them off. Shook them off. And made a public spectacle. Public disgrace. You can imagine him whip Satan, put his leg, his foot on his neck, and say, let me have the keys. He says, please, let me have the keys. And the Bible says he stripped him of all his armor. So he doesn't have anything to fight us with anymore. Jesus took everything. He disarmed principalities. That's what the Bible says. He disarmed them. And after Jesus was done, listen, I was in him. So my foot too was on Satan's neck on that day. And then Jesus, the Bible says, God now accepted the sacrifice of the Son. And God said, today have I begotten thee. Ah! Bah! He opened his eyes. Now in the grave, in the sepulchre. Ah! Remove that napkin. Folded that one. My Jesus stood up. As he stood up, we stood together. Hey! Glory to God! And while we were celebrating, hey! He was raised back to life. He says, wait for the biggie. And then he walked a little amongst them. And then on that day, in the book of Acts, he called the disciples and gave them a few instructions. And said, all right, now, I'll see you guys later. Something's happening. Jesus is getting taller. What happened? He's getting taller. What's going on? And then suddenly, look, the legs have been lifted. His foot. Now it's going up. Are we seeing? What's going on here? They didn't know whether to shout, whether to cry. Hey, he's going. He kept saying, I'll see you guys later. And he's going. That was the day they discovered this one is God. And then he went to where? Let me show it to you. I think we should round off with this. Ephesians chapter number 1. Hiya! Kakagaka. So good. Hey. All right. Glory to God. All right. Chapter number 1. Let's read from verse 21. I want us to read from the Amplified. Hey, yeah. 20. Which he exalted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. So when Jesus ascended, he went to be with the Father and sat together and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Next verse. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Hey, and every name that is named. There is nothing in this world that Jesus is not seated far above. Come on, celebrate Jesus Christ. Celebrate him. But you know what? Let's sit down. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and in the world which are to come. Next verse. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him to the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which means that the least in the church can exercise this, because listen, it's done through the church. The least could do it, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Next verse. And you he made alive. Oh God, I feel like laughing at the Holy Ghost. When you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Next verse. Now we have to rush. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. We are under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air. You were following the devil. You see, they told you. You said, no, I will go disco night. You were following the devil. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. The careless, the rebellious, and unbelieving. Who go against the purposes of God. You were like that. Among these, we as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passion of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh. You see, the day you were supposed to fast, you quickly broke the fast. You see, obeying the impulses of the flesh. They said, let's fast to 6. By 12, you stopped. Obeying the impulses of the flesh. You say, I will not kill myself. Because of the aroma. Obeying the impulses of the flesh. And the thoughts of the mind. Your mind said, don't worry. Break this one. Tomorrow you fast a longer one. You see? That's what you're doing. Our cravings dictated. Now you're guilty. That's why you're laughing. Our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature, children of God's wrath. And heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. Imagine. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Oh, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Did you see we were raised together? He gave us the very life of Christ. I would never be defeated in my life. Never. I would never die out like candle. Never, in the name of Jesus. In my path, there is no death. I would never be weak. In the name of Jesus. I would never be found on the sick bed. I would never, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the life that he has given me is the very life of Christ. Not another one. Not something that is inferior. The very life. Do you understand? Don't you understand? The very one. The only time that you can find me on the sick bed is if Jesus is on the sick bed. Because it's the same life. Don't you understand? The same life. You are there. Doing melee. Something has started affecting your body. You are looking at it and say, Jesus. You ought to tell it, get out. I can't accommodate you. I have the life of God in me. Don't you know? You didn't know? You're talking to that thing. You say, you didn't know? All right, let me let you know now. If it's a boy, take your hand, slap it, get out in Jesus' name. Out of this body. You don't belong here. What kind of a Christian is that? Wait, what do you think Christianity is about? In the morning, early, I rise and praise the Lord. See your life. In the morning, early in the morning. Is that what Christianity is about? Christianity is about the supernatural life. Do you understand? Living that supernatural life naturally. Such that people look at you and say, wow, we've got another Jesus around here. Hey, shout hallelujah! Yeah! Glory to God! That's the life we've been called to. That's my life in the name of Jesus. I will never be carnal. I will never be ordinary. I will never be natural. I'm supernatural all the way in the name of Jesus Christ. It is written, whatsoever that is born of God overcometh the world. And that is me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Not only do I carry the greater one on the inside, I am greater than the one that is in the world. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm not his mate. Do you understand? We are seated together with Christ. What does that make you? Greater than the one that is in the world. Say, I will never be defeated. Say, I will never fail. I'll never be a victim. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'll never be a victim. You know what? Put your hand around your body and say, body, hear me now. You have to comply now. The life of God is working in you. There is no weakness. There is no sickness. There is no disease. Coronavirus, I reject it. HIV, I reject it. I will never end up on the wheelchair. In the name of Jesus, I'll never end up on the sick bed. In the name of Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of life, the very life of Christ. I'm full of life, the very life of Christ. There is no place for darkness. There is no place for sickness. There is no place for infirmity in my body. I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no place for viral infection. There is no place there for any form of infection. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I am as pure as Jesus is. I'm as healthy as Jesus is. I'm as healthy as Jesus is. I'm as healthy as Jesus is. I have the very life of Christ in me. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, every strand of hair on my body has the life of Christ. The very life of Christ. The very nature of Christ. The very life of Christ. Yaga yaba zagalabaya. Liga rande sota diga shatabaha. Kaba galabaya kayababa shito. I refuse to accommodate headaches. I refuse to accommodate cold. I refuse to accommodate fever. I refuse to accommodate malaria. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm as healthy as Jesus is. I'm full of life. I'm full of strength. I'm full of vigor. Lega ha gaga ga zeze higa from the sombre and the zigaliata. Retegedo shoto bagaraya. The devil is defeated. The devil is under my feet. The devil is under my feet. The devil is under my feet. Biga shanta bagaya. Retegegeruka ha. Randa da ba 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 ba. Rateze. Masakalaba lekede shandaya mareta rigaya rete zadaba. Every part of my body zarate rekedeya radadadaba magarata la shanta bayagaya haya. Nothing goes wrong in my body. Nothing fails in my body. My heart will never fail. My kidneys will never fail. My eyes will never fail. My ears will never fail. Nothing fails in my body. In the name of Jesus, I have the very life of God in me. Everything is working perfectly. Everything is working perfectly. My digestive organ, every part of my body is working perfectly. Oh, Ratalia Saha. Makaka Gabashata Bayabaya. Reto Zagarabaya. Yeah, Radero Shatabagaya. Sindagaya, 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 Sindagaya. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. of the Holy Ghost. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ha 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 ha. Oh. Glory to God. Hey. Shout, I would never be sick in my life. Say, I reject sickness. Any form of sickness. Any form of disease. I reject it in my body. In the name of Jesus. See, I'm as healthy as Jesus is. Because I have his very life in me. I'm as healthy. I'm as strong as Jesus is. Because I have his very life in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him praise for it now. Give him praise. We are more than conquerors. Hayaba shata ba seketo la pahan. Hayaba shata ba garu seketo hosti. Say da barata. Lord, we give you praise.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.